96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Hello and good night, and welcome to The Doctor Is In with me, Dr. Dinothra Archer Cartwright, family medicine specialist and consultant. Thank you all for joining us on another Tuesday evening for all things health, wellness, and things that pertain to our Bahamian society. We've got special guests with us tonight. We've got a really interesting topic, kind of going on the social side tonight, a little bit more about what's happening in the society. So I hope you guys all join in and feel free to participate. Of course, brought to you by Medical Concierge Services for all your medical care needs. We're located on Collins Avenue, number 72 in the Bahamas Heart Center, and our website, mcsfamilymedicine.com, for more information. You can reach us 326-1521. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. This is a crazy long day for me. I don't know about you guys, but it's hectic in the Bahamas as things open up. And everybody needs to go back and do some retraining because the service everywhere is horrendous. And so it makes my day very, very rough. But we have an interesting topic. We're talking about local government tonight. And some of our nonprofit organizations, our NGOs, have kind of come together to bring this topic back to the forefront and kind of get us to, as they call it, imagine local government. And so with me tonight, I have Tennille Burrows, who I've been seeing for a very long time. It's, I think, maybe even a year or two before COVID, from Rise Bahamas, and Matt Aubrey from ORG. He's here tonight as well. And I guess you guys are collaborating. You could let me know. So welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yes, no problem. I heard you guys. You know, some of these topics still go back. And I think that's how I met most of you guys when I was kind of like out there being involved in a bunch of different stuff and just kind of trying to be as much of a good citizen as I could. So that's where I made those connections. And so you guys are still working hard at a lot of different projects. And so you can start by just telling me first. I know I think it's Rise's project in ORG is a part of that. So I guess, Tennille, you could just tell me a little bit about what RISE is doing and why the local government initiative.
All right, so firstly, RISE Bahamas, you can find us online at risebahamas.net to get more information. But we're an activist group that originally started out in 2014. And a few years ago, we were able to actually get registered and have nonprofit status. So our focus primarily over the past while has been child protection, where we really push for the full and proper implementation of Marco's Law, which consists of the missing child alert system and the sex offender registry. But we're also very concerned with community empowerment and good governance. Thus, we pitched this idea of having a campaign to promote the implementation of local government in New Providence to the Bahamas and to do market research and see who all in the Bahamas was aware of what local government means or could mean for us. And we decided to do this and realized that we could build upon the foundation that was already laid by the local government and New Providence Advisory Committee that did some research and looked at different models around the world and through the region and came back with a report in 2019 that I believe made it as far as the Prime Minister or his cabinet. But we had never seen it really released in a public fashion where we did any major public awareness around it. So we're now trying to pick up the mantle and do some public awareness around it, do some market research, and just present this concept that was proposed by the advisory committee in 2019 as something that could become reality for New Providence.
Matt, organization, responsible governance, why local government? Why do we need that?
Well, also as a sister organization in the not-for-profit space, we're really excited that Rise Bahamas has taken the lead on this. You know, obviously Tennille is one of our favorite people. She used to be an org person for a while. But we've always talked about the importance in good governance of citizen participation. And we do a lot of work in that space. We go out and we do grassroots work in freedom schools where we teach civic education, giving people information about how to understand the system of governance, look at the Constitution, learn how to write letters or have conversations with MPs so that you can get heard, encouraging them to join elections, all the things that we would find. And honestly, many of the items are also a bit of a risk because people haven't done these things typically. But when you hear about local government functionally is a very clear and structured way for you to get involved in things that matter to you directly in your neighborhood, in your community. The institution of local government is really about decentralizing some of the power, some of the decision-making, and even some of the ways to earn money that is going to be directly applied to things that would affect your quality of life. And so across the world in different ways, there are lots of systems of local government. In the Caribbean even, there are long-standing systems in Jamaica and Bermuda and Trinidad and Tobago and even in Turks and Caicos, they have some sections of local government. Within that space though, we see it what's going on in the Bahamas and the form of local government that we do have here out in the Family Islands is already an acknowledgement that people in their own communities need a voice. They need a say-so. They want a say-so so that there is input about decisions that are made locally and that they reflect local interests. Well, you think about the Family Island distribution and you think about the distribution in New Providence, and you're recognizing that 70% of our population does not have direct ability to have an impact in their community. The MPs that are charged fund, basically what the MP's role is to ensure that the local constituency's interests are reflected in national policy development, are currently called on to do all sorts of little local-based things. And that's a lot to be asked of one person. So a more functional model that came through the committee, which was reflective of lots of folks from different perspectives, but whether it be Dr. Nicolette Bethel, who's actually working on this campaign right now with Rise Bahamas, or Ed Fields, or Dwight Strawn, or Renard Henfield, or a lot of really interesting folks that came together, they saw that there would be a key opportunity for us to drive greater economic opportunity, greater citizen participation, and stronger democracy through a system of local government that was implemented here in New Providence, and then might set a model that could be further brought out to the Family Islands to make those systems even more functional and responsive to the needs of their communities.
Yeah, a lot of people involved. I heard Ed, he's my neighbor. Me and him always row about all of this stuff all the time. And I heard Henfield's voice on the recordings, actually on the Rise Bahamas on your website. Just taking from the website, it does talk about that in 1996, there was some form of local government that really was introduced to the Family Islands, but the system needs strengthening. People would say that didn't work. What's the difference between that and what you're proposing, and what are going to be some of the differences as we look that the committee even looked at this in 2018, but we still didn't quite get that. I totally agree with both of you that we need these different layers of government because this very centralized government is just too many things that they have to do. And it's like, it's almost like you're doing so many things that you don't get anything done. So what kind of things can we see? What are you proposing that's gonna be different and work? It's gonna make that local government more functioning? Because people would say that what we're seeing in the Family Islands, we don't know if that would improve the issues that we're having in New Providence.
Well, I don't know if Matt mentioned it, but he was actually also a part of that advisory committee that released their report in 2019. So he would have a very clear understanding of what they were proposing. We uploaded the report on the website as well. It's over 100 pages though, so some people might be more interested in watching a 10 or 20 minute explainer video. But they did mention things like a lot of times we look at how the US, Canada, and other places operate. They have municipalities and mayors and council persons and things like that. And I think largely though, in New Providence, if we were to look at the data, which we're out collecting now through market research, We want to find out who in New Providence even really understands what local government is to start with. I don't think we've had any real indication of it, and we haven't really been taught a lot about how the family island systems work. And I can also imagine that the family island systems probably don't work in a consistent fashion throughout the island, because each one has its own specific needs. So I don't think they could just have any wholesale approach in terms of how they operate. So Matt, I think I'm going to throw it over to you to address this question.
Sure. A couple of things. I think first off, to frame this up, what I think is so great about this campaign and what Tennille and Rise Bahamas is putting forward is the whole concept is, first, let's get our mind around it. Imagine what local government could achieve. So the recommendations that were put together by the committee, which I was very proud to serve on, are an option. They're thought through, and they are consulted, and they're researched and benchmarked. So they're something to reflect on. But it fundamentally is going to be up to the fact of, is there political will to move this place? And that's going to be driven ultimately by the public will. And it starts with understanding what is this and what are some of the potential options. So having said that, what the committee came back with was, and I don't think it's fair to say that that local government in the Family Islands is not working at all. I think there are recognized spaces. Long Island seems to have very functional and consistent results from some of its local government. Before Dorian, Abaco had demonstrated the potential of local government in their region, where they regained property taxes that were outstanding that the government couldn't reclaim. And the anticipated number, I think, that they were originally shooting for was about $600,000 that had been outstanding for a number of years. And through their direct local efforts, they actually were able to reclaim $1 million that was in that community. And so it talks about that there is great opportunity to strengthen and support what is in there. But I think Tennille's point is crucial. Each of these has a little bit of a different feel. So you want to build a structure that allows for that. So where the committee fell out on this was, basically, we thought for New Providence, if you looked at the way that New Providence was configured, it made sense to break it into 5 different districts. And those districts really looked at the Northeast, Southeast, Southwest, Northwest, and then what we were calling the historical village of Nassau. And that really covered the downtown and some of the overhill areas. Each of those was composed based on some relative similarities, making sure that each had an economic zone in it, like Carmichael Road or Prince Charles, or spaces that could be driving some economic activity. Each of them had some level of affluence, but also some level of folks who are living in vulnerable communities. Each of those had potential such that they could drive and engage their own plans and their own functions. But they would be driven by a model that would have an elected council. Each of those 5 districts would have, I think it was 7 different areas within those districts, each of whom would choose a representative. You would have to live in that community to be chosen to be elected within that council. And that council would work together to drive things within that district. Now, the district needs would be, and the way that local government really look at, would be things that you would see that were direct quality of life in those communities. So potholes and road traffic issues and maybe some zoning related issues when new development's coming in, decisions that are functional into that specific area. So what you might see in Adelaide or Yamacraw might really focus on how do we address the flooding or those types of things. Whereas in the other sides of the island, it might be a very different or very specific issue that might relate to that. But those councils would then be working with an elected person that we were calling the mayor, but I think that's a bit of a misnomer, because they're really, what their goal is not to determine the direction or what's happening in that committee, in that district, but really to execute on what the council has determined. So if there's a new program that's being put in place, or there's a need for addressing a particular road traffic issue or potholes or sidewalk issues, it would be that mayor who would be a full-time person employed to be able to work with the direct liaisons from the ministries and apply to those direct scenarios. Each part of what we looked at was also trying to, how do we bring it down to meeting some of the direct representation issues that I think we see and need. So trying to find spaces and places where people who want to put their efforts locally, and you might make the case that a lot of people who have gone into the national elections, their real interest is doing something local to their community, giving them a vehicle and a space where they could come forward outside of the political party realms to not only, you know, directly learn how to do public service, work in a space where they can see a direct impact, but also create an opportunity that they could start to look towards what is the difference between local politics, I guess in that way, or local government and then the national government and make that distinction. So it was a model that I think really works in complement to the MPs and would make the MPs' jobs more functional and more successful, and then also meets the direct needs of people in those communities that we know are really struggling sometimes with day-to-day things.
Yeah, definitely. So I definitely think that we need a lot of that. And I like the idea of having kind of a place for people to go even before entering parliament so that they have an opportunity to learn more about governance and what they should be doing in the community, which most countries do have levels of that. I know from the website, it says that some of the responsibilities included like repair and maintenance of the infrastructure, enforcement of environmental and traffic laws, providing training and apprenticeship programs for residents, engaging in citizens in decisions, introduce community or district crime prevention measures, create this district level entrepreneurial opportunities for residents, manage and maintain public parks and communities. Do you find though that is there some overlap? I find that, you know, we have ministries, we have all these different organizations. Is there another niche maybe for a local government, or will it just be taking some of the responsibilities from these other areas, which we seem to have a lot of overlap already, but we don't seem to have the efficiency to get things actually done?
Right.
What would be the difference in having this another group of people assigned to almost what seems like the same task?
So that was actually, again, and I think that's a great question, a real goal of the committee is how do we avoid the overlap where you don't have a lot of additional monies? So why would we suggest another level of government? And so in looking at how the local government would ultimately be supported and funded, what we were thinking is instead of another layer, creating another position that is going to be working on road traffic issues in that district, you could actually reallocate many of the folks that are currently in those places with a much more specific designation. To say, like, instead of working on, you know, for example, if you're dealing with a huge pothole, I think that there was one on Village Road the other day that I saw people scrambling about, and you then put something forward to Ministry of Works to get that addressed, that goes into a queue that has to somehow be thought through and considered against all projects that are immediately in need, either in New Providence or in the entire of the Bahamas. So having someone specifically designated within Ministry of Works to be like, oh, this is the focus on how we're gonna deal with the Southwest, and this is what we're gonna do related to that, where are the priorities and how are we gonna work through those things. It would give citizens a greater level of control and comfort to know when things are going to be addressed and when they're not. And that's about the effectiveness and efficiency concept. There's a lot that folks don't see or don't know with currently the system of government we have. And that breaks down trust. It makes people feel like things are not being responded to. There's not a lot of information. So giving a more specific mechanism for that to be understood, requested, and responded to was the thought. So looking at the delegation and identifying where those potential overlaps might be, this actually could be something that would help to possibly streamline other systems that we look at within government.
Go ahead. I was just gonna get you back in there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it'll also increase productivity as well, like Matt mentioned, in these ministries where sometimes you're not really sure exactly who's assigned to which district or how it's gonna work or who's going to respond to my message or prioritize it. But the thing I wanted to kind of touch on that you mentioned about there being different council persons also elected to each district to represent their particular section of the community that they live in, having people that come from the community directly, that proposition I think is one that excites me. Because now you have someone who's been working in their community, picking up trash or trying to get the crime watch committee started or doing whatever it is that they do, they now have an opportunity to almost be legitimized as the representative for their immediate area and to bring the concerns that they were maybe trying to tackle on their own to a local level of government that can expedite, I think, a lot of the issues that they would have. So if you had seven different council persons representing different sections within the district, what I'm thinking that will happen is they'll take the input from the seven council persons who would do the groundwork beforehand to see what the needs are and kind of survey the ground, the land. And then they would come back and probably decide on which district or which segment of the district is in most dire need of services right away. So then you're able to localize it and categorize things and just have something that's really a lot more well thought out and well executed in terms of government within that area. So that excites me that it's going to be more of an organic emerging of people in the communities that might already be doing work. They might be a part of civic action groups like Rotary. They might be a part of Kiwanis, but they don't know what else they could do to actually affect their immediate community. This would present an opportunity to the average Bahamian person who is civic and community minded to put themselves forward in order to be selected to participate. Dee? We can't hear you, Dee. Can you hear anything, Matt?
I can hear you. I can't necessarily hear the doctor.
The doctor has left the building. So I don't know if Rich still on. If Rich still on, maybe we can do what he did at the press conference. We can and hope the doctor back and say abracadabra and
the doctor will be back.
So let's continue talking about it then. What else is coming up in your mind?
So I mean, the thing that I think about just related to what you were saying was that that need for engaging folks, you know, when we do a lot of the work we do, and you remember this, there are a lot of people who are despondent, you know, they just kind of, you know, it's not going to matter. And they wake up every day and they see the trashed out house next to them that's got all the appliances dumped on it, or they see, you know, they hear guns at night, or they are, you know, the things that don't make you inspired to say, I could actually have a difference or make a difference here. And when they do see the MP, it almost becomes like the one shot that if I'm going to have an impact, I better, you know, use this now. And it shouldn't be that. It should be that there is a regular mechanism, and that's function, if it's set up well, I think will encourage more people to be involved and to feel like their voice will matter. I think it's hard sometimes to believe that your voice matters on national issues if you don't believe that your voice matters in things that happen in your own community.
So I was totally kicked out for a second. So I had to rejoin myself through my own show from my phone. But
Tanil
so
took over.
I know. It's good when you know what you're talking about, right? But yeah, I think all that's it's going to be extremely important. I just want to know from RISE and what you intend to do, what are the steps that you're taking? Right now, it seems you're in the educational phase, you're in the research phase. What are going to be the steps to actually get this to be like put in place? Like, what do you have to go through? And do you think that the political will is now there for something?
Start with the first question. Really the research phase is kind of where we're at. Research and pilot, I would say beta testing phase. So what we did was we contracted a market research firm to conduct a survey of 1,000 respondents. And we're asking them questions like, do you know what local government is? Do you think that it's something that we need in New Providence? So we're now expecting the results from that survey to come through. And when we get the results, at some point we're going to publish the results so that the public is aware of what that was. But we also have the blueprint that was provided by the advisory committee in 2019. And that's really, I think, a trusted document to go by based on the kind of research they did. They explored local government in other regions around the world. They looked for a large local government in the Caribbean region. And I think that we have to really take a look at the work that was done. We have these task force, we have these committees, and we just allow the results of the work that they spent years on to go to waste. And I think that's a huge mistake. We definitely have to be good stewards, a better stewards of the resources that we've been given and the breadth of information that they have provided us with. So we're in the market research and beta testing phase, launching this concept, launching the website, risebahamas.net. You can find out more about the Imagine Local Government concept. And as we go along throughout, we're hoping to be able to have the backing to support a full campaign where we can do more consistent public education and eventually host a virtual town hall meeting where we have panelists from not just the Bahamas, but also some of these regions that we mentioned that would be good examples to look at and hear from, and also to hear from some of the Family Island local government representatives as well, just be able to have a powwow. But I really think, like what you were asking after the first question, is if there's a political will. I think they'll have to see, because I think we can't ask the Bahamian people to rally around and get on board with a project until they kind of have an understanding of the ins and outs and what the point of it is and how it will benefit us as the people. So that's the area we're trying to cover, so that when the time does come and the people do call for it, they're doing it from an informed standpoint, and we're doing it in a collective, united fashion where it'll be undeniable if we say this is something that we want, we're going to fight for it.
And I think that the backdrop to that is that the last administration invested at least the time and resources in putting together this committee that was cross-sector and representative and putting together this. And then this most recent administration, in their blueprint for change, has spoken specifically about the fact that implement a local government regime in New Providence. The minister overseeing this area has talked recently about the priority being shoring up local government in the Family Islands, which is also, as long as it falls in the same space, a good step forward. And it sets the tone that local government in New Providence, or local government that is meaningful across the Bahamas, is something that the people can push for and hopefully not receive too much resistance. But I think Tennille's point is exactly right. This is the time for people to get their mind around this and kind of understand and ask and think about, like, what the committee proposed. Would that work in your neighborhood? Would that work in your space? Does it address the things that you would be really concerned about? If it doesn't, then that's exactly why local consultation is critical, and that's what this is about.
We're going to take a quick break in a second, but we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about how do you guys propose, or how is it going to rationalize, how is this going to be paid for? Because people are thinking, all these additional people, where is the money going to come from? So I'd like to have an idea of what you guys think about that. But we'll have people join in. 322-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And we'll take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll kind of talk about that, so that people have more of a sense of, hey, is this more taxes, or is there a way that we can actually pay for this that makes sense? So we'll be right back on The Doctor's End with me, Dr. D. Archer.
You see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last year arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone, so nobody can know what you say.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care. For every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Hello, and welcome back to The Doctor Is In with me, Dr. Janothra Archer Cartwright. Thank you for joining us for another exciting evening here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We're opening the phone lines 322-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259 if you want to jump into the conversation. But we're talking about local and what it would be like to have local government also in New Providence, as well as expanded throughout the Family Islands. My guest tonight is Tennille Burrows from Rise Bahamas and Matt Aubrey from ORG. And we were talking about what that would look like, where the concept came from, and kind of the building blocks of research that was already done. Now, when we talk about local government, we think, hey, more people to the pie. Now, when I think about our large central government, it feels very efficient. It feels like we're spending a lot of money and not getting a lot out. I really think that component should be shrunk and there should be more local government. But how do we pay for all this? Any of you can jump in and just kind of tell me what is the proposal of how do we now, as a country, and you know, we are just kind of recuperating, and I know it's going to take time for education and everything like that, but eventually, is this going to cost us more money? Where would the money come from?
The first person we got to track down is the Abaco crew, who went after those taxpayer dollars, and then go from there. Matt? Yeah, unmute your mic, Matt.
When we looked at it, again, doing the research, you saw that there were some common spaces that local government got its funding from, and they applied very much to us here. To the first degree, the reallocation of currently expended resources that are used centralized in a centralized manner towards local efforts is kind of just a neutral, right? It's the same person doing that effort, but doing it more specifically in this area. So that's more of a matter of strategy. But ongoingly, the goal was that this would be sustainable. Now, local government everywhere does receive usually some the central government, but where the funding that comes from it and what the economic opportunity that we see from comes from other spaces. And a lot of it falls right now in the fact that there are a lot of taxes, fees, fines and things that are not applied in the Bahamas right now. Think about, you know, you take any drive on Prince Charles and you see the number of infractions that happen around you that just are not addressed. A local approach in government can apply those fines. You know, we can reduce the amount of people who are blowing through red lights. You can deal with speeding. You can deal with, you know, parking that's not where it's supposed to be.
Garbage.
You can approach garbage fines.
The garbage. Crazy.
Right.
Conkle for him and who else? Rosemary, Clarice Hanna. They are the advocates against littering and dumping. The dumping is ridiculous.
I don't know when that became such a thing because I don't want to give my age, which decade we were in, but definitely growing up, you know, it was a lot of, you know, do not litter, all this stuff like that. Like it was so offensive to litter, but now it seems like it's a pastime.
Yeah.
Well, it becomes a functional thing, right? If you got to pay to bring and haul your garbage down, or it's not being picked up on a regular basis, then it bleeds over. And then somebody says, well, they're not picking up theirs. Why do I got to pick up theirs? And then all of a sudden there becomes properties that just become those spaces where everybody dumps. And it builds and it builds and it builds. I was working with volunteer groups and we would go and do those beach cleanups. And you'd clean up the beach and you'd go back a day later, it'd be just as bad. So there has to be, again, an investment that we care about what we do in our local space. That also adds on a level of oversight. Local folks feel like they can do something about that. It'd be traffic or environmental fees. There would be fees related to the nomination process and the electoral process of folks that would run for it. Thinking about usage of community spaces like parks and things, that monies would be going for that. Roadside signage, you could drive. I mean, think about how chaotic roadside signs right now are all over. You just see them popping up. But each area could put together a strategic space where they understand this is roadside, you know, digital marketing or even just billboards, and that money could come back to it. Impound fees, those are things that we would see, particularly related to a lot of the, you know, cars that just find permanent homes on the streets, but also garbage collection. Dr. Bethel is not here tonight, but you'll hear her talk about the fact that in other places, these are not centralized government functions. They are municipal functions. And so you drive the service, but that also means that there's a point of revenue there. Now, all things at this stage would still ultimately have to stream back to the consolidated fund, because that's just how legally the Bahamas is set up. But then you could set up systems where it's allocated and understood what portion of that came from district this, district that, and then the percentage and understanding of how that comes back can also be constructed. So ultimately, it can drive greater economic opportunity, greater independence from those localities to manage their particular issues in a more proactive way versus reactive scenarios that you see coming. You know, all of a sudden, they start in hurricane season chopping down the trees to clear out the space. They didn't get to your area and things happen. The damage that's residual requires a lot of reactive spending. But if every area time schedule and here's how we prepare for hurricane season and here's how we ensure that our citizens are ready and available and this is what we need to do to plan, you've brought it into a much more localized space, a way that people can understand, get their minds around, and also have a direct input on terms of when things are happening, how they're happening, and what ultimately should be happening next.
Do you think, though, there would be any disparity in the treatment of areas, though, with this whole collection in terms of if the budgets are based off what's collected in various areas? You know, I live in Killarney. I saw the map of how they were dividing up different areas and everything like that. But do you think would that cause any disparity on how things are done? Would it be something where you'd be like, well, our section hasn't collected much money with things not being, it's a very kind of funny thing, like how to work out the intricacies of that. Even other local government communities, they actually get to collect the money directly. You're talking about going into the consolidated fund, splitting those funds up and then taking portions. And then maybe central government still having to make up the difference. Are we gonna have those issues with kind of like equality of action?
The district maps were designed with a lot of attention to who would be in those districts and what does it look like in some level of proportion. So we don't have the visual, but if you go on risebahamas.net, you can see the report, which has the visual. And you'll see that the Northwest district, which you would live in, is long and skinny along the top. And then the Southwest district is like this big mass. It's the largest geographic one, but we also know that a lot of people don't live in the middle space. But it also stretches enough that you would then have economic places like Carmichael Road that could port it. So each one was done so in a nod that they would have relatively the same opportunity to drive revenue. Each one contains some very affluent areas and others, and also some areas that are in very strong need of support. It's not a matter of, and I think it's important also to understand, every entity can't always exist on its own, and that's not the function that it is. But the services, the quality of life services that are affected, and areas where we don't currently at a central level have the greatest effectiveness in drawing back resources that are legally due, property taxes, you know, those types of things where we're seeing levels of compliance not being very high, a local approach tends to be more effective. So you're able to tap into more revenue that then can come back, and that revenue then should offset the additional level of support that might be needed by the stipends that would be allocated to the council people, or a full-time salary for the mayor for that district, or other resources like an office or things those types of, that would be in place. But the strength of this really would be better applying the direct central amount of funding that have been put towards infrastructure needs, local needs like potholes and road traffic and those types of things, but also tapping into the potential of those areas to plan and direct and manage their own destinies, you know, to not sound so big, because they can, you know, if you talked to and gathered folks in Carmichael and talked about what do you do about that road, they'd have been on it, expanding that road and figuring out how to better manage it, you know, looking at how to, you know, deal with that. People in the Northeast would be talking about how do we open up some of the, you know, revenue owning, and let's look at that and talk very specifically about how we can do that. So once given that space, a lot, I think, can happen that will ultimately, once people have bought in, give the opportunity for a greater draw of government revenue overall. The allocation, I think, again, that would have to be in the way that it's designed, but there would be a certain proportion that is designated to every component, as well as a portion that is just as centrally assigned no matter what. And that again is very similar to models we've seen in other Caribbean countries. In Jamaica, for example, they get 100% of local government gets 100% of property taxes, but the level of attention and compliance is much higher than we tend to have here.
I think a lot of it too is
like prioritization in terms of who has the most dire need of certain, like regardless of whether it's what we call a rich area or a not so fortunate area, which action could be taken to serve the most people and to have the widest impact is something that I think they would have to consider in terms of prioritizing the work that's done.
Yeah. I see that it's going to take some working to do, because like I mentioned, I'm thinking real property taxes in Killarney versus, you know, maybe another area where I think the taxes start at about 250,000, some of the lower cost homes. There's a larger collection of funds, especially I think that's one of the big collection ones. But I see that you're talking about a variety of different ways of collecting and making those more efficient such that there is actually more money coming in to actually take care of those things. I guess a balance of efficiency actually to balance off all those things that are happening. I think what people would also want to know is like, how would this happen? Would this be more people during election time? Would it be more like the Americans where they have kind of midterms where there are different time periods? What would that look like? And are we going to be looking to vote at more times? Is there a structure in mind of what that would look like, voting in terms of that?
Yeah. Those had set it up where it would coincide with the Family Island local government election. So if you kind of follow the model of how those are run and rolled out, it would follow a similar fashion, but it could be in a larger scale because of the population and that sort of thing. So it would probably have to be some sort of hybrid between how the Family Island elections are run and how the general elections in New Providence are run, in my estimation.
And when we set this up was prior to the most recent election, but it was, yeah, exactly your cycles that are married up with the Family Island local elections, with, you know, setting up spaces where you're encouraging folks to come from that community, instituting things like caps on what campaign spending would be, taking steps to prevent the political involvement within those so that you're driving people that are going to be more representative of that community. Making a lot of those things that we feel like have maybe not been addressed at the national level involved. But now having gone through the last election where you saw a significant drop off of people who just didn't come out, and clearly some of that was related to COVID, but I think there's a percentage of folks who just have started to back away from it. And then also in the most recent local government election, you also see a drop at the polls. Having some more focused and more meaningful and more regular elections, because it starts to rebuild in the mechanism that voting matters and that you can have a say-so. And if people are invigorated based on the fact that they vote and someone is going to see an impact locally, it might then inspire the thought that my national vote may not be a throwaway. It may be that this is actually a better expression, or there is a way to generate an expression of voting.
Unmute, Denitra. Unmute, Dr.
I think you're.
I am so pro voting. Like, I really believe that, you know, you should vote. I really had to consider my vote this last time around. Like, I'm always the person telling people, you know, just vote, just get out there, and I had to personally think, like, do I really want to vote in this election? And I knew a lot of people. I'm an early old millennials, right? Not the young ones you guys talk about, we're old millennials. And a lot of my peers, a lot of people that I know were not interested in voting. And I think even the younger generation, the ones behind us, they were not interested in voting. So you had a lot of people who just didn't feel like there was a purpose or it was going to lead to anything different. And so it's going to be a lot of work to get people out again, because you say even on the local government level, you did see a decline. Part of it was COVID. A lot of it was just people kind of jaded and not really interested in the process. I think the going back and forth and not really seeing the type of progress that we all would like to see. You know, it's just the same problems every 5 years, representing themselves and a repackaging of things that don't work.
Bahamas like new things. So at least on the first go, I'm pretty low voter turnout is a result of people who weren't inspired, didn't feel like it would make a difference and all these sorts of things, which is the gap that we're hoping to fill with this new kind of concept that will bring government closer to the people and cause us to be excited again for voting for Mr. Friend across the road who in Rotary live in my area. I get a chance to vote for him or her. And then it could just be people who are sent to me by political parties who I don't even know or care about or see any work that they've done in the communities. This could be somebody who I know and could vouch for their activity. So I think that that's what was missing. The inspiration and hope behind the voting process in the Bahamas has been lost and has deteriorated over the last few elections. But this is an opportunity to get in there and really be excited about your vote.
Yeah, I saw a point where local government is not party affiliated. Is that something that you really are going to push? Because I think if you get back into the party politics, we're right back where we started. So how would that work?
So that was one of the recommendations, is that there can be no party affiliation in now. How do you keep it entirely out? I'm not sure that that's a realistic expectation. But by a limit of campaign spending, you minimize that. We actually came up with a model that was probably too stringent. People like Tennille and others who have actually run campaigns, that may not be doable. But so minimizing that, but also driving the fact that these are not political issues, that whether you're red shirt, green shirt, blue shirt, if you can't get lights at your park, it's going to affect you, all of your children, the exact same. So driving that as a mechanism to kind of avoid the partisanship, it drives greater representation, access. What we've seen is there's a lack of representation of women in frontline politics, a lack of representation of youth, or when youth does find its way into national politics, people are kind of, well, who's this person and where did they come from? It's not as directly applied. We have so many talented and vibrant and interesting people, whether they be through civil society, the private sector, or even in government service, but to then put their focus to say, hey, you could actually utilize and grow your space in the public as a public servant through this mechanism, I think you'd have a lot of people that would come forward and it wouldn't be cognizant of the partisan partisan model to drive that representation. It would be much more about who in your community do you think really can get this thing done, can represent you effectually? And that's ultimately strong democracy. That's strong representative democracy. So it supports people to believe in the system again. It supports people to their way and remind them that they actually can express their interest and we can give a way to counter some of the pessimism that I think is out there. So I think there's a lot that can be done with it. We're going to have to ultimately, always deal with the influence of start large partisan politics at a national level. I don't think that's something that will ever go away, but it creates a specific enclave where you can start to look at how does this really feel and look, and can we then grow something different, at least at the local level?
Yeah, I think that's pretty amazing. And I think you'll have a lot of people who may not be interested in really getting involved in a party, going through that process or being chosen to kind of fully or even follow party agenda, who just want to go out there and help the community. This would definitely be a vehicle for them to be able to do their part and really kind of help the community to get some things actual done. Some doers, some action people. We find usually politicians are big talkers and then they get wrapped up in the nuance of big government rather than being able to focus on the small things that really touch the regular guy, that's going to make his day better, that's going to make his life better. Those things happen in the community. And I think we've lost a lot of that personal touch there with everything that's going on.
Well, I do think that there's probably people who end up in Nashville and find they are limited by by the roles that they're in. If you're now part of cabinet, you're bound in some ways to decide and manage through that. And you can't necessarily reflect the direct interests of your party because that's the way our system is set up. So those people that have found themselves there and might be dissatisfied This could be a direct space where they really could kind of come to life and achieve what their ultimate goal was.
Yeah, because we've seen it where people who have been kind of community drivers, they've gotten into politics. And we said, what happened to this person? Like, they were so aggressive. They were so out there. They were really making things happening as an individual by themselves or in their organization out of government. And then they just kind of floating or backbenching or whatever it is, or stuck in cabinet where it's mostly consensus. You know, our constitution is based off of a monarchy. And so it's very difficult to kind of go in there and say, I'm going to change things radically or anything like that. Whereas you can do things on a community level. It's just like that. An hour is almost just about gone. So Tenille, kind of wrap up, what do you want people to kind of get out of this whole idea, this campaign, what you're doing, and how do they get involved?
RiseBahamas.net is the website. And you're talking about the cabinet causing there to be a kind of, what do you call it? I mean, they can't cabinet, whatever. It makes me always think back to Marathon and the gas leak. And that was such a sad situation in my mind. And I think like local government can operate in a fashion that's different than that, a fashion that keeps the people as priority and the needs of the community as priority, and actually has a mechanism through which we can access opportunities. And I think it's definitely something we have to look at. The work has been done in terms of putting together proposals for this idea. Just go on risebahamas.net, check it out.
Okay, awesome. And Matt, your kind of final thoughts on this, what do you want people to gather? What are the most striking points and what we can do, all do as citizens, to participate, learn more, and get involved?
Right. Org's tagline is always get informed and get involved. And I think this is a great opportunity for that. So I encourage folks to go on the website, look at it, and think about what does this look like? What some of the things you've heard tonight, or some of the things that you see in the committee report, how would that work? What are the questions that you have? I think that's going to help people to start to get their juices flowing about what this could be. And that concept, I mean, really responding to imagine, is the heart of citizen participation. Why do it if you don't think it's going to matter? Find a space where you think it will matter and apply your energy, and all of a sudden you're going to get some results. This is a mechanism where I think we...
Wow, I think we got a lot in there for people to digest and start to think about this whole idea of local government, what that would mean, especially in New Providence. We do have the majority of the country. We're all kind of packed in at the moment. And what it would be to have people that are responsible on a more local level, a more microcosm in a sense. And so those of you who are interested, you know, go check out risebahamas.net. Their campaign is called Imagine a Local Government. They kind of outline what that is. And they have also, I think, some links, some really cute little videos that kind of explain some of that stuff. So you can see that there, and some images and links to the document that was created. So you can check that out, definitely, for sure. I think we're in a time where people want more. People want to be more involved. We want to be good citizens. We want to be able to participate in our government. That is real, and we're seeking. This is definitely something that we need to take a look at. And so I want to thank you, Matt. Thank you, Tenille, for coming out tonight and kind of sharing with us all that's going on with your organizations.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much, Dr.
Lee. So thank you all for listening to another exciting show of The Doctor Is In with me, Dr. D. Archer. Every Tuesday at 7:30 on Guardian Radio, brought to you by Medical Concierge Services. And we will catch you all next week. Good night.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.